Hey, everybody, this is Stelly Efti.
And this is Heaton Shaw. And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about competitors.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah. We want you to do your best.
And in this context, what we received is we received an email from a gentleman. I'm sure Stelly has it pulled up. And he was just asking about competitors and wanted us to do an episode on it. And I don't think we've ever really done a single episode on competitors. I'm guessing this might be one of a few that we end up doing. In this context, it's really about competitors and how you avoid leaking information to them. Would be how I'd describe it. But Stelly, maybe you have more color on where you want to go with this.
Yeah. So this gentleman, basically this founder, he is in a highly competitive market and basically was asking us for advice on how to deal with some of the kind of strategies that their competitor are using to extract more information from them. And at the same time, kind of telling us or giving us a window into some of the strategies that they use to quote unquote fuck with our competitors or to gain information from them. It was kind of, I think both for you and I, it was surprising to what lengths these companies go to mess with each other, right? We've talked about in episode 24 about competitors in a very broad sense. And I think, you know, both of us, I tended to be much more on the side of don't worry so much about them, just focus laser in on your customers. And we recently talked about this and you gave me a new perspective on it, which was, yes, your customers and their problems should always be your number one priorities, but your competitors can be a way to understand your customers better. It can be a way for you to learn more and gain more insights into your customers. So, and we talked a little bit about that in a recent episode, but this is going into a completely different direction, right? So, one of the problems he was describing, and maybe we can go through just some of the things that he was encountering and, you know, we can just react to that. But as we mentioned before, lots and lots of competitors in the space that they're in, a recent trick he was describing as one of the challenges they have, recent trick that they've been hit with is that people or their competitors would call in and basically tell them that they're, you know, or represent themselves as the VP of innovation of one of the big three U.S. department stores that they're trying to get as customer. And they would be calling their board members. That's new to me as well. Usually you just call the salespeople, the sales department to get some information. But in this case, a competitor, somebody would call, would represent themselves as a VP of innovation from one of the big companies that they would want to have as a customer and actually call a board member, telling them they are trying to reach out to the leadership team and learn more about the company before they decide to make a purchasing decision. And they would want just a 10-15 minute call to get more information about the roadmap, the product roadmap, where the company's going, fundraising, all these kinds of things. And he was telling us that he would pick up on this as being a competitive strategy and bullshit, but one of their board members didn't. And that person, that board member apparently gave them a ton of information that they weren't happy about giving. So let's just pause there because there's lots more here, but that's pretty aggressive. Like, I've never heard anything like this before. I don't know about you.
I've heard all sorts of stories. This is pretty aggressive. I mean, faking that you're somebody, calling a, you know, an investor or board member, and then trying to learn more about the company just feels like kind of slimy in a lot of ways, just because there's multiple lies there. So yeah, I've heard stuff like that, and you know, I've seen people do stuff like that. I think people get dirty would be kind of what comes to mind for me when they just think that there's information they want to get on a competitor and really believe that that's important to them. And then people get dirty stopping competitors from growing in the market as well. And, you know, I, on one hand, I'm like, oh, this is bad, right? Like, you shouldn't do that. On the other hand, I'm like, like, what do you do if a competitor is doing that and you're not? And somehow they're gaining information that helps them succeed in the market. So this ends up being more moral, ethical, and all those kind of dilemmas. Or you can take it a whole different way and the opposite way and just say, this is just business. And I don't actually believe there's a right answer. I think it has a lot more to do with what do you believe as a business owner that you think you need to do in order to win in the market. And that point of view, that perspective is really what shapes what you're willing to do or not do.
That's such a powerful statement. And you know, I think recently, funny enough, there's been a lot of news about companies acting not ethically, executives at companies doing things that are very questionable, even in totally different spaces. But even if we go back a few months ago, there was a lot of like competitive stuff that companies would do, just calling competitors and with Uber and Lyft, I think, having like certain teams at Uber in certain cities, pretending they want to ride and then canceling just to create like all kinds of confusion and problems, all kinds of what you could call unethical behavior. In order to be, a pain in the ass to your competitors or crush your competitors or in order to advance your business. And it's an interesting question, like where you draw the line, and a very personal one to a certain extent. I mean, there's the legal line and that's kind of, that's not negotiable, but then there's the ethical line and that's very much negotiable, apparently, like depending on who you are and what kind of company culture you have, right?
Correct.
But the one funny thing, like one thing that's interesting with competitors having information about you is always the question, what is the true consequence of this? A lot of times I feel like, and I'm not above this, a lot of times I feel like people tend to just freak out when they find out that a competitor is messing with their information, either signing up for a trial and playing with a product or gaining information by calling their sales team, or in this case, a board member. But when you step back, I'm not always convinced that whatever information they acquired is really that consequential at the end of the day. Like what is changing now that they know we're going to build XYZ? Of course, I know that there's some companies that especially that are so competitive where if you know what they're building next, that can be a make or break type of a situation. But I'm not sure if that's really true for every company. I would go on and say that I think it's the exception where this type of information really makes that big of a difference. So the question is like, how much do you react to this? Because reacting can also be a way to take your eye off the ball, right? If you overreact, it's almost like competitive terrorism where, you do a little bit of something, but then the overreaction is really the negative consequence, much more so than the harm you made by your actions. And let's just go through some of the things that this founder shared with us in terms of like their defense measures to deal with this. All right, so here's some of the things that they are planning to put in place. Mutual NDA signed by two parties at the same organization before a demo call. They send a link to how they compare to their competitors, but really redirects to a LinkedIn page. So it shows them who's viewing that profile. He's saying this is an amazing red trap because everyone wants to see how a competitor represents them. Competitor IPs redirect to random websites and LinkedIn profiles. Customers in the same city joins in person for demo to share strategy. This is a killer closer with this validation. This is, irregardless of having a competitor there or not, this is a good strategy. If you have like large deals you're trying to close, bring a customer with you. That's a dope strategy. And then he says the wild goose chase roadmap. I don't know. 10-minute call to confuse the hell out of the competitor team for days. I'm not exactly sure what this means. I assume it means that you call the competitor or you give the competitor false information about your roadmap, but I'm not 100% certain.
I think that's what it means. Yeah.
Okay. So these are some of the, what is this? This is like 5 bullet points you shared with like their defense measures. Even using language like defense measures is interesting to me. It's unusual to me. And it shows how competitive that space is, that they're like, they're not just fighting for the customer, they're fighting each other actively every day with like, competitive intelligence and misinformation and, all that stuff. So what do you think about that? Well, when you read the email, you were on I forwarded you the original email thread, I think. When you look at that, what's your response? What would be your advice to this founder, this company, in terms of how to deal with our competitors?
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how justified his actions and his point of view are. And that's where I start in thinking, like, is there a better use of his time than worrying about what a competitor does or what a competitor's trying to do? The other questions are, well, there's a whole, like, you know, as they say, like, tit for tat. So the question is, are they doing anything to extract information about their competitor in the way that the competitor is or in other ways? Because I would say that this goes back into game theory. It goes back into, like, just the idea that you're either defensive or offensive or you're at war, you know, and all these analogies, which I myself, like, I think in some markets, they're all applicable. In others, like, there's a lot of what they call co-opetition or frenemies and all those kind of concepts. So to me, having experienced really nice competition, nice meaning they would hide things from us out of respect, not out of spite. And then I've had other competitors that would go even further than what this gentleman's describing to get intelligence or, more importantly, sabotage sales deals for us. So I've kind of seen both sides of it. My personal opinion, you know, of when I am running a business is to be more perceived as the nice company. At the same time, I just feel like at the end of the day, I feel like this is a demonstration of the other company's values. And then you have to decide what you want to do. Are you having fun with it? So in some ways, this founder, I think he's having fun with it, to be honest with you. I think, like, by putting, you know, like, he was telling us he would put these LinkedIn links and say, oh, this is the roadmap. And then it would go to a LinkedIn page and then they would know who saw it, right? Because because it would go to someone's profile, like his profile or whatever. That's really cool to me in the sense that you can get some tracking, right? And know exactly who's viewing it and clicking, which is really neat. So there's a lot, because you can just look at who viewed the profile, right? So a lot of cool stuff like that, that to me is just more making fun of them or just making fun out of the situation. I kind of like that. You know, and again, it just boils down to how low do you want to stoop if you consider it stooping low? Are the customers going to understand and respect or disrespect the values that this company is demonstrating? And there's a lot of small things you can do, right? If you want customers that don't appreciate this stuff, then I think the simplest thing I would do would be in my sales calls, because this sounds like these are really large 6-7 figure deals potentially for this business or this market, I'd probably go after it and just basically start describing to my customers exactly what the competitors are doing.
Yeah.
And let them make the decision. Look, we have a competitor. You probably know their name. Here's what their name is. And they are doing all these kinds of things. And, you know, they're doing them to us. And I thought you should be aware, because it's likely that you might get caught up in it. It's not our doing, it's their doing. And obviously, as a business, you get to choose who you do business with. And so I'm just letting you know this, that way, one, you don't think we're doing anything like that. Or, you know, if you have some values in your own company that would go against what they're doing, then you would know exactly who you're dealing with on both sides. And to me, that would be more of a transparency sort of strategy, where you're being transparent about what someone else is doing just so that your customer's aware. And then the customer gets to make the choice. But, like, by all means, if you want to work with them, we're not going to spite you, or we're not going to think you did the wrong thing, but we think you should know what's happening in the market.
Let me ask you this, because it reminded me of a number of times when companies get ripped off in terms of UI design or something else, and they decide to go public with it, right? So the founder decides to write a letter or a blog post describing what the competitor did and kind of just sharing it with the world. What do you think about that? When is that a good idea or a bad idea? When have you seen this work or not work? You know, a way of reacting to a competitor messing with you or doing espionage in some ways could just be to go public with it, right? Do you think that's a good idea?
It depends how aggressive it is and how it benefits your company. So if you can see how it benefits you, great. There's a PR strategy, but I would go totally into communications and PR strategy and thinking about what it does for you short, long, medium term. Does it really stop them? Does it shame them? But really, what does it do for you? Because oftentimes it doesn't do anything for you, you know? I mean, I just had actually a similar situation recently, very recently, where a company I'm advising, run by a good friend of mine, was being spammed by another much smaller company. And, you know, I happened to know their investors. So I introduced him to their investors once he asked for it. I wasn't going to do anything until my friend, the founder of the company, who in this case would be the victim, right, of the situation, requested, you know, that I make the intro, because it's not on me to decide what to do. People inside the company were actually debating what you just said, which is, should we shame them, right?
Yep.
And I told them directly, I don't think shaming them is going to accomplish anything for us, right? And so instead, what they decided to do was go talk to their investors and just say, hey, this is what's going on, and it's no good because they're spamming our users, basically.
Yeah.
Ironically, I will mention this. It's a feature I didn't want added to the product and recommended that they don't add it in the way they did because of many reasons, including this one where it was susceptible to
spam.
Another company spamming or spam in general. And, you know, they still did it, but that's okay. So, and the reason I mention that is you can predict things like this. You can predict your vulnerabilities, right? And actually do something about it. So to me, there's multiple sides of it, right? There's some things you can predict someone else is going to do, even prior to understanding their behavior. But there's other things where once you learn their behavior, you should start thinking about not what you can do as much as what do you think they're going to do next? And how do you actually prevent that or soften the blow to your business and your customers based on what they're going to do? We started doing that really well at one of my companies where we were really dealing with a competitor that was doing things that we would never do. And once we got pretty good at knowing it, we found ways to dissuade them by getting them to focus on other parts of the market, not, you know, our feature set or what we were doing. And that was really helpful. But again, I think to do this well, if you're in an aggressive market, you have to strategize. I don't think there's a blanket answer. I've seen all kinds of ways work.
Yeah. So I think that what's really important here, and this is going to be part of my tip. So, you know, what's really important is to play to win and not just play to play. And it's easy to get tricked into playing your competitor's game, but always being a step behind or doing something that doesn't work in your company culture versus stepping back and really thinking, okay, what are they doing and why? What are they gaining from this? And what will they do next? And what do we want to decide to do about this in a way that's not always a step behind and very reactive and in a way that is playing to our strengths, right? So we can, if we think we're good bad guys and we can out bad them in their tactics, let's crush them with evilness, right? If we think we're good guys and these guys are super aggressive bad, you know, bad guys, just to oversimplify this, we're not going to win a street fight with him. So we have to go about it in a different way. I think he sent me a follow-up email asking about kind of like us talking about espionage tactics and counter-espionage tactics and where to draw the line and what's legal and ethical and all that. And I think there's some good ideas that you can put in place in terms of like stopping